Mr. Herman Wilson is our guest this week. How are you doing today?
Very well.
Well, just to get started, tell us a bit about your background, where you grew up, and how you first came to be introduced to the FFA organization.
My background includes growing up in East Texas near the Louisiana border in an area that's known for timber and sawmilling and forestry and et cetera, more than some other ag issues. But anyway, small country school, and, you know, it had four classes of each grade. And as a consequence, FFA was one of the required courses in the first year in high school. So anyway, that was my experience with FFA prior to the 1990s, when one of my friends from the chemical and fertilizer business asked if I might get involved in the organization. And since I had profited from the chemical fertilizer business, I thought that was an appropriate way for me to give back to, you know, the future of the business. And so that's how I ended up involved with the National FFA organization, and was on the sponsors board for, I think, 2 years, if I recall correctly. And then subsequent to that, I've been involved in the annual meeting and the judging of the Star Farmer and other things that are handed out at the annual meeting.
As we're about to find out today, you're making a tremendous move forward in helping to solidify the role of ag educators in our nation's classrooms. But before we learn how, tell us about your ag educator, your advisor, that person in your life that had such an impact.
Well, the person that was the ag teacher that was involved with me is an individual named J.C. Clark, who grew up in the county where I grew up. And this is a small county over in East Texas with 5 high schools in the county and about 12,000 people total. And he had grown up in the county seat town, and I'd grown up in one of the 4 high school areas that was south of the county seat. And he got out of the military in the early 50s and went to college. And I guess this was basically his first teaching assignment. So he taught there for 3 or 4 years and then moved on to the county seat town where he had gone to high school and where he had grown up, where he had a ranch that he started dealing in registered Hereford cattle. So anyway, that was a typical progression path. But J.C. Clark then stayed in the county. And in later years, I had a small cow operation over there, and I would talk to J.C. periodically about his experience and his expertise and raising cattle and that kind of thing. And so anyway, to make a long story short, I kept in contact with J.C. all my life. That said, it was a lifelong deal where he stayed involved in schools. And later, he was not the FFA advisor in the county seat school. He was the school principal at one time and then later the school counselor. But he was a good, good person. He was very disciplined. He was very much focused on discipline. If you got out of line, he was either going to get the paddle or you were going to get a lecture. And so anyway, he did a good job of changing the lives of a lot of young people that went through his classes over the years. The high school where I went to school has had a reasonably low number for the number of years since I got out of school in 1959. It's had a reasonably low number of FFA teachers. It's probably 6 or 7 people in that long period of time. So FFA advisors in that school have had, on average, a pretty high number of years of service before they pass on and move to something else.
So, Mr. Wilson, very recently, you and your wife, who happens to be an educator herself, established an endowment called FFA Advisors Making a Difference. It's a $250,000 gift aimed at the recruitment and retention of ag educators. So before we talk about how this endowment is going to make a difference, would you explain the problem at hand? Of course, even though membership is booming and more schools are adding ag and horticulture courses, why do you believe ag educators are becoming harder to find?
Well, the purpose of this gift was to provide some funding to allow the National FFA organization to do some in-depth studies to determine why the problems attracting new or young people to the FFA education type situation is so difficult at this point in time. And it is obvious that if you can believe some of the statistics, and I do, from some of the major schools that should be turning out ag educators, they're schools that have good background agricultural degrees. Problem with it is that they're just not having numerous students line up for those particular degrees. And I think a little of it is that it's a competitive world, and some of the people that are involved in other phases of agriculture has been able to pay significant premiums to what a teacher would make to attract some of those people coming out of those schools. And so as a result, the migration to teaching has been a very difficult sell simply because the person can make probably twice what they were going to make as teachers, as a salesman for a major chemical company providing herbicides and pesticides to farmers, or even fertilizer products to farmers. And so as a consequence, I just think it's a matter of economic reality. And so I think it takes a special kind of person that wants to take that, I call it missionary job, of being the ag teacher at a school where they try to change the lives of these young people coming along. So I think the first thing that we need to probably do in this situation, and it hasn't been done yet that I know of, is I think there needs to be a census of existing agricultural teachers, and that census needs to have a profile of what they are, what are their ages, you know, how many years before they anticipate retiring, and a few other criteria that will tell you that not only do we have a demand for people to teach the ag subject in these schools as a need for, you know, additional teachers because we're getting additional students attracted, but we also have to look at, and if you go to the national convention each year and I look around and I see who the advisors are with these young people, there are a number of them like me that got gray hair. And at some point in time, those people are going to decide that, you know, it's probably not worth it to go down there every morning to the school and try to lead these young folks. And so as a consequence, we're going to have to look for replacements for the existing population that's out there, as well as provide teachers for what I think the organization would hope to be a growth pattern that over the next few years annually grow the number of students.
So explain to us the specifics of how this endowment will target that need.
Well, I think at some point in time, what's going to be required is I think we're going to have to find a researcher or whatever that understands the intricacies of the FFA organization and goes out there and does some in-depth surveys of what the existing teacher base is, and then secondly, to coordinate activities where some concerned people, let's say business people that, you know, think FFA is a worthwhile project, can get together with a group, and I call it brainstorm until such time as some ideas, even though they may not initially sound like they're feasible, they might come into reality to provide the supply of teachers that we need. And one of the suggestions I mentioned of some of the people around is I think the retiring military might be a significant source of teachers if we could figure out how to take a military retiree who's had great training. Our military is one of the best training organizations in the world, and they've had, many of them have had great leadership opportunities because they get rank 18-year-old kids out of high school. They turn into pretty efficient soldiers out there, so they know how to lead, and I think that's what we're going to need to put into the teacher base. And so let's assume a guy has been in the military 20 years and has one of my niece's husband's retired last year from the Air Force after 20 years, and, you know, he's 43 years old, and he has the equivalent of a PhD and all the education he got in 20 years in the Air Force. He retires as a lieutenant colonel, and, you know, that to me would be an ideal candidate to somehow convert into an ag teacher because he has the discipline, he has the ability to communicate, and he has what I call the black or white judgment. That is a Herman Wilson term that some people don't like, but I often said about my mother, it was either right or wrong. There was no gray. There wasn't any maybe in the decision. So it's that kind of person that we may need to try to attract to get some material here that comes into being that, in addition to their retirement pay, that they teaching would be a job that would be somewhat subsidized by the fact that they already have a military retirement check. And so it's some thinking like that that I think we have to do, and it may be that we have to develop a program with some universities cooperating with us to take the education background of that individual, and even though he hasn't been through the teacher college syndrome, he would be an ideal candidate in my mind to bring into that classroom to lead these young kids. And the money issue there is to simply to fund what cost that it takes to put together the rather detailed study. And it's going to take some time and some effort, and we're going to have a leader that's capable of putting that kind of data together for us.
Now, finally, if you were speaking with a new FFA member or someone just entering into an ag curriculum, what advice would you give them to make sure they get the most out of their experience?
Well, I think in today's world, we're in a totally changed environment, and I think the FFA ag curriculum is going to be more, I'm going to say, science-driven than probably it was in my day. And I think that's one thing that the FFA organization has had some discussion about in the past, but I think there needs to be some intense effort on the part of the FFA organization to have any kind of ag-related courses that are in high schools. I think it needs to fill a basic science requirement in addition to just having FFA project focus. And I think one of the things, and I know I'll be severely criticized for saying this, but I think at some point in time, I think FFA that is project-based will become less important. And I know today the FFA project is a significant part of the discipline brought into the FFA program. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but as we go further down the road, I think it'll become more and more difficult, particularly as FFA penetrates urban areas, for these kids to do projects. These inner-city kids live in houses, and there's no place to have a backyard to put a pig or a cow, so they have to have a farm out here in the country. So I guess what I'm saying is we're seeing changes in the background and the student that's coming into the FFA program. And those kind of changes are coming, and I think FFA is making some strides in that direction, but I think it's going to be accelerated as we become more and more urban and less rural.
Well, Mr. Wilson, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thanks for letting me be a part of the program.
Well, again, we've been talking with Herman Wilson, an honorary American FFA degree recipient and a former member of the FFA Foundation's Sponsors Board. And again, they've created that endowment to help draw ag teachers into the profession. It's called FFA Advisors Making a Difference.